Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
That was pretty cool. 106.7 The Fan was all over the one and only sportsbook at Hollywood Casino, Charlestown Races, for a couple of broadcasts. And Jason Bishop had said during his 2 days off he was going to head to, what do you like to call it, Chuck Books?
I was called Chucktown.
Chucktown.
Mm-hmm.
No, Chuck Books is my bookie.
Right. Gotcha.
His name is Charlie. So we call him Charlie Books, not Chuck Books, but
Chuck
Charlie
Books. Chuck Books, illegal bookie. Charlestown, fully legal.
Correct. Yes. Yeah. Chucktown, yes.
But you were going to head it over to the one and only sports book, but I guess you didn't know exactly what day. Skippy, your co-host from the Big Fat Winners podcast, was coming from Colorado.
Yep.
So you were going to make the trek over to West Virginia and to hang out at the sports book. But I don't know if you did it on Thursday or Friday.
No, I didn't do it on Thursday because the weather was so bad and I really didn't feel like driving. You know, because from my house to Charlestown, there's some back country roads, real narrow roads, and it was just pouring. I just didn't want to be there on Thursday. Friday, didn't get there on Friday, but we did on Saturday. We were in Chucktown on Saturday for about 3 hours. And by the way, that place was mobbed.
Oh, sure.
Of course it was.
Packed to the gills.
I mean, absolutely mobbed. And the sports book was packed too, but there were people sitting at the tables.
Oh, you just mean the entire casino.
The entire casino was mobbed.
Did you, people like to try to win cash.
And by the way, I got to thank the good people at Chucktown at Hollywood Casino for the dinner at the Final Cut.
Okay, I was going to say, did you have to cancel your Final Cut dinner? Because that was part of like your Thursday or Friday night plan.
No, I just moved it to Saturday.
Got you. So you went in the evening hours.
Correct. We got there around, 3:30-ish, 2:33, maybe 3:30.
What did you have to eat?
I had the halibut.
Very good.
And scallops.
Oh, you doubled down.
The day boat scallops.
Very good.
Oh, they were so good. So thank you very much to all the good people at Hollywood Casino and Final Cut.
Yes.
That's the spot. Final Cut. You and I have had dinner there
before. I've been there like three times already.
Yeah, that's a great restaurant.
Fantastic.
Yep.
So people want to know what happened to you because Big Fat Winners tweeted out a picture of your head in your hands. And they also tweeted that you had lost like 8 straight bets.
Right.
That you were getting your butt handed to you.
I can't believe this is happening to me.
That was a little embellished, the 9 straight bets that Skippy said I lost. I didn't lose 9 straight, but I took 2 horrific beats.
Oh, I need to hear about the beats.
Just horrific, horrific beats.
Yeah.
In the UVA Gardner-Webb game.
Okay.
And then later in the Duke-North Dakota State game.
All right, give us a UVA beat first.
All right, so UVA is laying 23 for the game.
Okay.
Okay. And I thought, you know, they're going to come back out. And they put last year behind them, the loss to UMBC. They're really focused this year because that's all they've been hearing the entire offseason.
Right.
And even during the season is the loss to UMBC.
Automatic focus.
So they're laying 23 in the first round game against Gardner-Webb. So I placed a pretty sizable wager on that.
Okay.
Okay. And then, you know, they're down 14, and I'm thinking, okay, well, they're obviously not going to cover the 23. But the second half line was 14.5.
Okay.
All right. So I laid a pretty sizable wager on UVA minus 14.5 against Gardner-Webb in the second half. All right. And then I'm watching the game. I'm going, you know what? I love this. I think they're just rolling.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for a good 15-minute stretch, they were just pounding Gardner-Webb. Gardner-Webb couldn't do anything.
Right.
They were turning the ball over. Virginia was hitting threes left and right. So I did a live bet at minus 18.5.
Okay.
Okay. That was probably with about, I don't know, I'm guessing about 7 minutes left.
Right.
And then I also had one other bet. Now, this is a bet for the game. I had Gardner-Webb team total under 53.5. All right. So I have 4 bets on this game.
Mm-hmm.
I got the total or the minus 23 for the game. I've got the live bet at 18.5. I've got minus 14.5 the second half, and I've got under 53.5 for Gardner-Webb.
Right. This is all on Friday, so you're not at the sports book right now.
I was not at the sports book on Friday. This was at a restaurant, Copperwood. We're at Copperwood over in One Loudon.
Mm-hmm. The Canyon Grill.
I love Copperwood. My man Reese Gardner over there. All right, so I lose the 23, but it's 71-50 with about 1.5 minutes left.
Okay.
Valdez, I don't know. Did you watch this game at all? Did you watch any of the UVA game?
Yeah, I saw.
Okay, so it's 7150 UVA. I mean, again, they're just pummeling Gardner-Webb. Ty Jerome, who's one of the best point guards in the country, has the ball. They're just trying to, they're just messing around. They're throwing alley-oops.
Right.
You know, no-look passes. I mean, they clearly have won this game going away. So 71-50.
I want winners.
So I still have a shot at laying the 23.
Mm-hmm.
I've easily won the minus 14 and a half in the second half. Ty Jerome goes in, he dribbles through his legs, and then he, for whatever reason, he has a wide open three, decides not to take it, and he drives the lane, offensive foul.
Oh, all right. That hurts.
I'm bitter.
Yeah.
All right. Gardner-Webb goes down and hits just the meaningless three. So now it's 71-53.
Okay.
All right. So now I'm.
Now that's 16 and a half. You're sweating it. You're at 18.
No, it's 18 and a half.
Okay.
So I'm losing that bet by half a point right now. All right. So I'm going to lose the 23. I got that.
Yeah. You're resigned to that.
But
loss.
I've hit the 14 and a half. So I've split on those. But I still think I can win the other two because I'm still winning the Gardner-Webb at under 53 and a half because now they have 53 points. So Tony Bennett says, timeout. I'm pulling all my starters out.
Puts in all the Scribinis.
Puts all the Scribinis
in.
Hey,
I want you guys to get some NCAA tournament experience.
Yeah, he puts in this white kid who's probably played about 3 minutes all year.
Yeah.
Big floppy hair.
Towel waiver.
Probably has a good GPA, though, to boost the team's GPA.
Yeah, he's smarter than all of us combined. So now there's less than a minute left.
Okay.
Virginia's got the ball. I think
Full-on garbage time.
Oh, garbage time.
Garbage-a-rama.
Right. And usually, the kids that come off the bench who never play, they want to score. They want to take threes.
Sure, of course.
Right, so if they have open looks, they usually take them.
It's their one-shotting moment.
It's a one-shotting moment.
For them.
All right, so now it's 71-53. They're dribbling around. They finally hit this one kid with the floppy hair. It looks like he's straight out of Hermosa Beach.
Mm-hmm.
Got a wide-open three. Yep. Doesn't take it. Drives in lane. Offensive foul.
No.
Now they're coming back.
Now your heart's starting to palpitate.
Right.
Now you're like, here it comes.
How much time's left?
There's got to be
45 seconds.
Less than that,
I remember
probably.
When the scrubs came in, about a minute and 10.
Yeah, I don't know, maybe like 35, 40 seconds, whatever. So Gardner-Webb's only and by the way, Gardner-Webb did the exact same thing. They pulled some guys off the bench, too. So I'm thinking, okay, they're just going to jack up threes, but these are kids who can't really shoot it.
Right.
And I told the guy next to me, some guy I just met, I said, watch, I'm going to get bung jobbed by a meaningless three-pointer from a kid off the bench who never plays. 71-53. I've already lost the 18.5, but I'm hoping that I can get the under 53.5 for Gardner-Webb. Kid comes down, jacks up a 30-footer, Drano.
It's not possible!
Final score, 71-56. I lose three out of the four bets. So I'm like, okay, I got killed there.
Yeah, but, that hurts.
But there's so many other games left.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll go to the Duke North Dakota State game.
Okay.
All right, I put the largest wager of the weekend on Duke North Dakota State over 147.
Okay.
No, I'm sorry, 148.
Took a cue from me and Valdez. Play the overs, baby.
Did you play any of these games by any chance?
I had action on a couple of them.
Oh, yeah.
All
right. Well, I took.
I'm not like you. You sound like you had 50 bets on a day.
Well, you know me. I can't just place three bets on,
all right,
on
so,
a game.
So bad beat. You lose three out of those four bets. Now you pretty much double up or go in big on Duke.
Yeah. I'm not going to tell you how much I put on these games. People, by the way, on Twitter, they were in a frenzy.
Of course.
They just wanted to know everything. They basically wanted to know my account numbers.
Can I tell you my favorite caption though? After you finish the story.
Yeah. Let me finish the story. All right, so Duke, Florida, or Duke, North Dakota State over 148. All right, I had no shot in this game early because North Dakota State couldn't hit a shot, Duke couldn't hit a shot, but in the second half they went bonkers, and with about a minute and a half left, they're at 147.
Okay.
All right. I don't know if you saw it. Alex O'Connell, the white kid for Duke, drives in lane, clanks a dunk.
Just missed dunk.
Right off the back
so
of the rim.
So that went from a winning bet to a loser because of a missed dunk.
If he lays it in, or if it's a brother, he will make the dunk. If it's Zion, he makes that. Barrett, Reddish, any of those guys.
He flushes it.
I got the one white kid who's going to miss a dunk for Duke. Clanks it off the back of the rim. No one scores the rest of the game. They ended up at 147. That's when I went like this. And that's the picture you saw.
See, my favorite... Look, if you go to facebook.com/thejunks, I think there were around 200 comments on a caption this. And my favorite, and several people had different versions, was that's Jason when he realized he actually has to pay a bill.
Right.
Because you actually see a bill in the picture.
Right.
Like instead of a hero bill.
That's pretty funny.
Instead of a zero bill.
Zero bills.
You
are
actually are going to have to pay whatever bill
now,
you have.
I did have a bill, but I did have a gift card.
Of course.
Of course you do. You're always prepared.
So UVA, horrible beat, and Duke, even a worse beat because of the amount of money I had on the game.
But you say you got it back on Saturday.
Had a great Saturday. Once the money at the blackjack table hit Kentucky minus two in the second half against Wofford.
Very good.
You should have seen how I won that game. That's a story for another day. And I did really well yesterday. So, yeah, I got crushed on Friday, but there should have been pictures of me on Saturday and Sunday, fist pumping.
A lot of rejoicing, I'm guessing.
Exactly.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hanging out with Charlie Slows yesterday, and after the appearance with Charlie and Dan Kolko, it was just me and Funny Danny, mm-hmm. Danny Ruye.
You guys did a Q&A?
We did Q&A for an hour, mm-hmm. and then the big boys left.
Okay.
The Nats insiders.
Yes.
It was just me and Danny, and there was a trivia contest, and they were ball-busting questions. Oh, I couldn't believe it.
Hold on. Did you?
Really? Yeah.
You didn't come up with the questions.
No. We were giving a list. I was a reader.
The prizes tickets?
Prize were opening day tickets.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
Well, you got to earn those.
Yeah, sure. Autograph piece. But, I mean, it was... Like off the top of your head, like, how many Nats playoff games? How many playoff games have the Nats been in? It's just hard to like come up with that.
How many games have they played since they've been in Washington?
Who was the opening day starter when Nats Park opened up?
Hold on, when Nats Park opened up, the opening day starter was
Levon Hernandez.
No, that was RFK.
Oh, Nats Park. I'm sorry.
Opening day starter.
What year was that?
I think it's 2008.
I'm going to go with
11 years ago.
Jordan Zimmerman.
No, I believe. I've already forgotten. It was either Odalis Perez or John Lannon, who, of course, Jason said would never be in the Hall of Fame.
That is your guy. He's your
buddy.
I
mean, those are tough type of questions.
Those are tough.
Well, for opening day tickets, you got to earn them. You got to know what you're, you know, you got to know Nats trivia.
There were several rounds, like, who was the manager of the 1924 Senators that won the World Series?
You're kidding, right?
No, that was one of the questions. Who hit the first home run for the Nationals?
Were people getting these right?
I have no idea because I was not part of the scoring. There would be scoring, then the score sheets would come back to us, and then we'd do another round.
I mean, if I was in the crowd...
Are you a big fan of... Oh, here, we'll play the missing link game. Termel blank hammer.
MC?
Termel Sledge. You don't remember him hitting home runs for the Nationals?
No, I don't. By the way, Bucky Harris was the manager of the 1924 Senators.
Bucky.
Anyway, those were the type of ball-busting questions that we were asking. It was like, how many home runs did Juan Soto hit last year? Come on, quick. Don't Google it.
38.
I've probably forgotten. Wasn't it like 22? 22, maybe?
I was going to say 26, but...
Yeah, 38 seemed like a very high number.
He didn't play the whole year. But, I mean, it was a good time. We were hanging out there at the Georgetown waterfront. And so, anyway, we're going to do some Nats trivia. Maybe not quite as hard for the Nats tickets.
It's not going to be easy.
106.7 The Fan Day. That's coming up at 7:45. Couple things.
It's not going to be easy, by the way.
No, it won't be.
I think I'm going to have to wear my Junkies Nats jersey to 106.7 The Fan Day. Why wouldn't I?
By the way, why
don't you borrow Rob's?
What was the most asked question or biggest concern of the fans that were there? When you guys were fielding questions,
all the cues came from Danny and I, so we didn't really had like a talk for an hour.
Oh, so the crowd wasn't asking questions. I got it.
They could have been involved. I think I threw that out there, but nobody like came up to the microphone, so it was just us like chatting.
Yeah, stage
they
fright.
Were too busy eating nachos.
Wow, nachos are delicious. Was Drab T-shirt in the crowd?
He does love some nachos.
He's a big fan.
He was not.
Yeah. Okay.
No, it was a good time. And again, 7:45, I'll give you a chance to win those tickets. For Saturday's game. So,
by the way, I think Max Scherzer in his latest spring training outing, 7 innings pitched, 12 Ks.
Ooh, of course.
I was a little surprised at the 7 innings. I mean, I know they're pushing it each start.
Ramping up for the regular season.
But he must have been rolling. I didn't see him in the game.
Although, you know, rolling. One of the things that we talked about with Charlie Slows and Dan Kolko yesterday was you kind of need Scherzer and Strasburg and even Corbin to go longer innings because you don't expect that from Sanchez and Hellickson. So the relievers are going to get taxed during the Sanchez and Hellickson starts.
Mm-hmm.
Middle relievers, your closers, and all that stuff. So you want more innings from your studs.
I thought I saw Hellickson was going to be in the bullpen. Did they announce?
Maybe at the beginning of the year, there's a lot of off days.
Yeah,
at the beginning of the year, they're doing some manipulation, but he will be the number five starter.
So when they get to the full schedule, he'll
be the five. Yeah, they sent Joe Ross down. They reassigned him.
Yeah, I saw that.
Fetty's down, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the 4 or 5 right now are Sanchez and then Hellickson.
You just mentioned Hellickson. Yeah.
By the way, Noah Syndergaard was really happy with the Mets when he found out that they're going to take a 3-hour bus trip from Port St. Lucie to Sarasota.
Did he get salty?
Oh, so bitter. Then then they're going to fly to Syracuse, not to play a game, just to work out in the Carrier Dome.
Okay.
I don't know. I guess they're throwing a bone to their AAA affiliate in Syracuse.
Right.
And
he's not happy about that either?
Oh, he was
bitter.
Is
he a little bit of a diva?
No, I mean, he had a point. I mean, to take a 3-hour bus trip and then fly to Syracuse instead of going back. And you know, his point was, let's get to New York. Let's chill out and rest a little bit, get ready for opening day, because they got to be here opening day on Thursday. He didn't want to take a 3-hour bus trip and then fly to Syracuse not to play a game. So he was bitter. On this show, we call it lick. He was very lick.
Yes, he was. Oh, boo-hoo. You have to take a 3-hour bus ride. Boo-hoo.
I'm sure that's fun. You want to take a 3-hour bus ride today?
Probably not.
I know you don't.
I know what he really doesn't want to do is go on a cruise ship.
Oh, of course I don't.
I've been on a cruise ship. I had a great time. I'm a proponent of cruises. Any endorsements out there, I'm happy
right,
to do.
You're the guy.
4 cruise ships. I had a fantastic time. I think I gained 12 pounds mm-hmm. in like a 7-day cruise to the Caribbean and hit amazing places. But the video of the Viking Sky cruise ship.
Yeah, the Kirk Cousins Sky.
A bit concerning about future cruise ship trips. 450 people had to be airlifted off of the cruise ship.
Now, when you say airlifted, does that mean like they lower the basket down out of the copter and people
yeah, yeah, helicopter 1300
that has to take forever.
Take
helicopters
months.
Cakes
1300 were evacuated total.
Yes, so there was 1373 passengers.
Put the passenger in the basket
on the Viking Ocean cruise.
I mean, how many man hours does that take? That's got to take forever.
So I don't know. I'm familiar with Caribbean cruises, not Norwegian cruises.
Yeah.
My guess is the water was very cold. They said it was around 45 degrees, choppy waters, and you see the video.
I guess they were choppy.
It almost basically looks like the cruise ship is about to go down, right?
The ship is basically like listing on its side. Looks like it's about to just fall into the ocean.
Time tables, being, chairs, everything just going right across the deck.
I mean, there was one video I saw where it completely tilts. Stuff, furniture sliding all over the place.
On tilt
stuff
like is, Jason at the Charlestown Casino.
Like the ceiling tiles are falling down. I mean, it's a full-on disaster. I mean, those people have to get a full refund, right? And then the cruise ship, they'll throw in like, oh, you'll get 50% off your next cruise. Who would ever go on a cruise again after that sort of experience?
Although you may have the thought, like the people that survive a plane crash.
Yeah.
What are the odds to get another plane crash? Well, so what are the odds you have another problematic cruise? So you should be golden.
So you're telling me the people that landed on the Hudson with Sully, all of a sudden they were butt-sized to go out and start flying again because they
I'm not saying that they are, but you know, like due theory, they're due good flights.
You would think so. You would assume that's the case.
The waves were 26 feet high.
Mm. Jeez. That's nuts.
Can you imagine boogie boarding that?
Laird Hamilton was out there.
Yeah, Laird Hamilton was towing people their surfboards out off of the cruise ship.
Yeah, generally you don't want tugboats to be involved with your cruise ship.
I would be pooing my pants if I was on that.
Yeah, I would guess you would.
I mean, I can't believe. See, this is another reason why I'll never go on.
Everybody's in life vests. I mean, sounds like a fun vacation.
Look, I mean, the boats, it's flooding. There's water everywhere. I'm sure the water's warm.
Yeah, but how often have you been on a helicopter? That might be a first. You do a cruise ship and a helicopter airlift.
So do all these people get their money back? What do they do?
Have to. I would think you definitely get a refund.
They lose so much cash.
Oh, just so much.
And then they're going to sue.
Yeah, I'm sure some people will.
People sue for emotional distress.
Don't they have radar? Don't they know that there's rough seas ahead?
Well, the problem was the engines started cutting out. They had engine failure. So that, I guess if the engines don't fail, they can cut through the choppy seas. But when all the engines just decide, you know what? We're going to stop working. Then it's trouble.
Then it's just tossing it around.
Yeah, then it's the ship can't do anything. It can't go anywhere. Can't move.
Well, engines shouldn't fail.
I agree. I agree with you.
That should never happen.
Here's how it never happens to you, though. You don't get on one of those death boats.
Correct. Right.
Which JP apparently loves them and can't wait to have the engines cut out and the norovirus to spread all over all of the decks. He loves it.
Cakes, I went on one, woke up, boom, I was in the Virgin Islands.
Yeah, look.
Got to explore the Virgin Islands, went back on, had a nice dinner. Believe it or not, really nice dinners there. Woke up, boom, I was on another island. Can't remember the islands I went to. St. Martin's, let's say. No, I went to St. Martin. St. Martin. Boom, went to sleep. Boom, I'm in San Juan. I mean, it was a good time.
I don't need to see unlimited cookies, 100 islands in 4 days.
No.
I'm fine with being on one.
I think if you've been to one tropical island, you've basically been to every single one. Cold drinks.
No, that's what Cake says because he hasn't been exposed many places.
I'm with you on that.
And yet when he went to Aruba for a poker tournament, he came back raving about Aruba.
I loved it. But now that I've been to Aruba,
if you open your eyes, maybe if you went to Turks and Caicos, you might be like, this is amazing.
I am a world traveler. I've been to Puerto Rico, Jamaica, and Aruba. And you know what
about
they all
every
are?
15 years
you know what
apart.
All of them are? The exact same.
So
palm trees, trade winds, sunburns, fat hurt things, all the same. They're all the same. If I go to the Bahamas, it's going to look exactly the same as Aruba and looks exactly the same as Bermuda, where JP tried to run up 10K on the AT&T account because he was roaming in Bermuda like a big dog.
Oh, yeah. Almost back in the day.
That's a big radio insider.
Radio
throwback.
Insider.
All the tropical islands are exactly the same.
But I saved the Bermuda deal, Cakes.
You did.
See, you're overlooking that.
I don't need to go to every single tropical island. I just don't.
Okay. Anyway, I'm a proponent of cruise.
Sure,
cruises.
You love them.
Fun time. Really good experience. You got casinos on the cruise ship. You got great restaurants. You can work out. You got pool. You got all that stuff. And then you get off and you can experience a different island. And you go snorkeling, you do whatever you want.
Oh, you can experience a different island. You can walk through the tourist traps at every single port of call.
It's not necessarily
Locals shoving their merch in your face.
No, thank you.
It's
not necessarily like that.
Go out and explore the island. Go to this overpriced jewelry store. Oh, they have homemade trinkets at this store.
That's for
that
the
doesn't
rooms
look anything like the last spot that I hit.
You don't have to do that.
By the way, a Norway cruise has to be the 16 seed of cruises, right? Why would you want to go up in Scandinavia?
Because some people say it's beautiful. You get to see, what do they call those things? Fjords?
Fjords. Fjords.
Right.
It's basically a cliff. I've seen cliffs before. Right.
Why don't you ask Natalie Holloway if she likes Aruba? What do you think her answer would be?
I'm guessing she didn't have the same sort of experience.
I love when you do that. Like, do you love this country? Do you love America?
That's a great... Sometimes I don't.
Okay. Well, you
too many potholes.
You should love America, and there are murders here, too.
Way too many potholes in America.
Do we just say...
Too much Zion coverage. I mean, I love America, but too much Zion.
You know what? The tax is too high.
Cakes loves California. There are murders there, too.
Certainly are.
So, I mean, you're Natalie Holloway. You can do that. Just for a minute, just to change topics for just a second. Happy birthday. It's my daughter. Turns two today.
Happy
Isabella.
Birthday.
We had a Peppa Pig party over the weekend.
Very good.
I don't want to say the specific place, but you know how this is. We've all had kids. Those places where they run around for a little while and they put you in a room.
Sure.
And then you do the birthday cake there. And so they do the tumbling. They do all that stuff.
I know exactly
all the kids
what
run
you're
around.
Talking about. Yes.
They run around underneath the parachute. Mm-hmm. They go on the balance beam. They do all that stuff. It's a tip question. We often have tip questions on the show.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to say the name of the place, and it's a fantastic place. We're members of the place. $400 for the party. Seemed reasonable. We had, between 10 to 15 kids were there, and all the parents and all that stuff, and it worked out. So I go to leave the tip. There were three girls that helped out.
Okay.
My thought was $20. Per person, $60.
I think that is more than enough.
I think it is more than enough. In fact, I asked my brother who was there.
It's fine.
And I said, what would you leave these ladies? And he goes, I don't know, $10 a person? 30, right? So I said 60. Then my wife said that I was squeaking it.
Really?
She said I was squeaking it. And then somebody said, there was another woman there, another mom, and she was like, well, what do you think? And she's like, I always heard 20%. So 20% is 80.
Right.
So I ended up leaving 80. And then my wife, after the party, said, I think I'm going to do something else for Miss whatever her name
right.
is.
Right. Over and above the 80?
That's
gratuitous. $80. Gratuitous. 20% makes sense at a restaurant. For people working at a birthday party place, they shouldn't get 20%. That is way over the top.
So I agree.
60 was plenty.
She wants to do more. And then I was like, I think I need to put my foot down.
What are you doing?
With
60. 30's a little bit nubs. Your brother was trying to nub
them. He's a little nubs.
Your brother's trying to nub them a little bit. 60, more than enough.
Were they doing the exact same thing that a restaurant server would do? Were they taking food orders and coming and delivering the food?
No, so the first, 45 minutes to an hour, it's an hour and a half birthday party for a two-year-old, and a bunch of two-year-olds running around. They kind of guide the kids in activities. There's circle time. They sing songs. They do all that type of stuff.
Oh, so they do a lot of stuff.
They do that stuff. And then you move over, and we set up the cake and all that type of stuff. But they kind of, I guess they clean up.
Yeah, but they're getting paid by the hour to do all
that
nonsense with the two-year-old.
Because we have
they're not making $3 an hour.
No, they're making.
They're probably making 12.
Their salary.
Probably.
Or 15.
Yeah. Because then we leave, and they get another party in a half an hour.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you were fine. 60 was fine. The other 20, you're not going to get it back now. It's just gone.
No.
But yeah, your brother was trying to nub them. You were fine. Your wife's going above and beyond.
And she probably still will.
I'm sure it was a great party.
It was a great party. But I thought, that's a lot of money just for a tip.
It's a lot. Yeah.
Right?
Now I'm feeling like I nubbed it because I have to thank my friends, my new friends at Brew Belly, a spot in the O-Town.
Nice.
Which has been open for about a year now.
Right, but and you just stopped by for the first time?
I've seen it a billion times. My only issue with it before yesterday was the parking lot is small. So it's hard to find a parking spot. This is wildly popular. Everybody goes there. Went and, to avoid a bridal shower at my in-law's house. My father-in-law is like, let's go to Brew Belly and bring some of the guys and we'll go hang out. Had some beer.
Hanging out with the fellas.
And it turns out my man Dave, who works at Brew Belly, big Junks listener, gave me a silly hero bill.
Nice.
Hero bill.
Oh, then you put like a big dog with the crew.
But I only tipped 50 for all of us, which I think is
you tipped.
I tipped, yeah.
But you got the hero bill. Shouldn't the other people tip?
Yeah, but I just felt
your father-in-law.
I was going to take the bullet for the whole thing. So then I just felt like I was escaping with a $50 tip.
True.
I feel like I should tip them a little more.
No, I think that's good.
It's pretty solid. Pretty good.
Because, I don't know what your bill would have been.
I will be going back. So thank you to everybody at Brew Belly.
What's it by?
It's right on the corner of Georgia and 108. Right in the heart of the bustling
Georgia.
O-Town. Georgia.
By the way, that's the way Cakes pronounces it. Georgia.
I don't know how you want me to pronounce
right.
it.
Georgia. You can't do it.
Georgia.
That's better. But usually you'll say it. It's just in casual conversation.
Yeah.
You pucker your lips like Georgia.
I don't know why you do that. I'll just call it Kirby Smart Avenue. Guy who can't beat Nick Saban Avenue. Happy to welcome in on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline, good friend of the show. It's Chris Nocke, color analyst on the Terps Radio Network. He was in Jacksonville this weekend.
Oh, C-Knock.
Calling the Terps action.
C-Knock, just a devastating loss. I mean, they didn't. Their first half was poo-poo. They played like butt. They played really well in the second half. But, man, what a tough way to lose a game.
Yeah, I was trying to decide. I was watching somebody play. Oh, I'll tell you what. I was watching Iowa play yesterday afternoon.
Right.
Strange game that was. And I was watching them get spanked in the first half, thinking to myself, what would be better, to lose at the buzzer or to get absolutely hammered, drilled, and not have a chance? And like Villanova, for instance, against Purdue. Now, unbelievably, Iowa came back, much like the Terps did, and made that a really, really interesting game. But that's a hell of a way to lose, man. I mean, you go down there, you're right. Lurch, I tell you what, man, I thought the Terps played okay in the first half. They didn't make any shots. They had all sorts of open shots, didn't make any of them.
Yeah.
And, LSU was pretty good in that first half. But any way you look at it, when you get down 15, you got some major work to do to get yourself back in the game.
Chris, when Turge slapped the zone on them in the second half, I mean, LSU looked completely out of their element. They looked befuddled, like they could not figure it out. Did you feel like Turge should have done that earlier, like in the first half, or were you okay with when he went with the zone defense? Because LSU really struggled with it.
Well, I mean, you know, it's funny. Turge have played like, in the only other game where there was an extended period of zone was against Minnesota at Minnesota, and they looked the same way. They looked like they'd never seen a zone, a practice right. against a zone, and so it worked. You kind of are who you are at this point in time of the season, and Maryland has been a man-to-man team about 98% of the time. You know, in retrospect, sure, you look at it and you think, gosh, you know, if we'd gone to that with 15 minutes left in the first half instead of 15 minutes left in the second half, maybe it would have been a different game. But like I said, you know, you kind of are who you are by the time March rolls around. And, you know, it served the purpose. It certainly got them back into the game. And I, for the life of me, I can't understand how teams look that disorganized and against the zone. I mean, basically, they were playing pass and catch around that 3-2 zone. Made it pretty easy to cover.
They had no idea. And by the way, Waters is special. If Waters isn't going to be the best point guard in the country next year, he'll be top five. He is a special talent. He's fun to watch. His passing in the lane, his ball handling, no-look passes. I mean, he's really, really – that's a tough kid to defend.
Yeah, he also has that – and they list him at – I think they list him at 5'10". There is no chance.
He's small.
Cakes could post him up. But he finishes in around the basket like you can't believe a guy that small can finish. He's pretty remarkable player, no question about it.
Talking to Chris Nocke, voice of the Terps on the Terps Radio Network. One of the things we were kind of kicking around off air, actually, is our impression of the Terps offense when Bruno gets double teamed. Why isn't it better? I mean, he gets double teamed all the time. It just doesn't seem like guys are cutting the basket hard enough, or they just don't seem to react well when he's doubled.
And it
happens all the time.
And he also looks a little bit lost. I mean, at times this year, Chris, he looked pretty good, and I think he got better than last year, but he still looks kind of lost when he gets doubled. He doesn't really know what to do.
Yeah, I'm going to put most of that on Bruno, to be honest. I do think he's come miles. I just think that, you know, when you run two and three guys at him, I thought LSU did a really good job. And a lot of times it was Waters. A lot of times the double teams against LSU were coming from places you normally don't get double teamed from. They'd sneak a guy around on the baseline side, you know, from the opposite block. And, you know, Waters was effectively playing sort of a rover position at times when they were sending guys at Bruno. So I do think that they solved a lot of their problems. You know, so they were so much better at the end of the season than they were in December at dealing with that stuff. But you know, it's for Bruno, it's kind of an unusual look to get double and triple teamed. I wish he'd gotten more comfortable with it, but I do think that he understood what to look for. I think there were panics. Sometimes there were plays made by the defense, and you know, it puts a kid in a strange situation when you run into two and three guys at him every game.
So Jalen Smith hit the game tying three, and I'm just kind of thinking this.
Like, by the way, I thought Chris Nocke was going to send me a text.
Yeah, he hit a three.
If they win that game, I guarantee Nocke sends me a text. Yeah, he can't shoot threes.
Well,
I
thought of you. the second it went through, I thought of Jason. I was like, that's the guy. He said should never ever take a three-pointer.
Although he clanked his first four.
That's true.
But that was
a clutch
big one.
Hey, so he's right on percentage.
Right.
No, but what I wanted to ask you was about kind of is he somebody who might – like entertain the NBA after a freshman year?
He
has the physical ability.
You can't.
And these guys all do it nowadays. They entertain.
You know, I've stopped trying to figure out who should go and who shouldn't go.
Right.
But the way the combine is set up right now, there's no downside to a player going and seeing what they think of him. He is not. I don't think he's ready emotionally, psychologically. I just think that he's got a lot of maturing to do, but, you know, kind of between the ears as much as anything else. He is really physically gifted. He can run like a deer. I will tell you that he's a much better three-point shooter than Jason thinks he is. If you had been courtside, he would have pointed at you.
I know.
Hey, it's not always about the percentages. If it's about the percentages, you would have hit your free throws against Archbishop Molloy.
Yeah, I did. I clanked the front end of a 1-1.
still throwing the Molloy free throws back in your face.
You got to use what you got, Chris.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But he, you know what? He's got those measurables that the NBA loves. I mean, he's long. He can run like a deer. He does have range. And I think he'll – I'm almost sure he'd go to the combine. I don't know why he wouldn't.
Well, yeah, but I mean, the reason why I bring it up is a year ago, I didn't think – I would have thought that Herter was going to play another year. And he ended up getting a first-round draft pick, and he's played well in the NBA.
Well, he went there as an afterthought. And you know, and then a few hours into the combine, he's hearing from people that, hey, man, sit this next game out. You already played your way into the top 20. Mm-hmm. You know, so things happen, man. And you just because a guy had a certain year that, you know, as a college player, that doesn't mean that he's not going to, you know, make these guys drool when they get to the combine. It's just it's almost a different game. And they're looking for different things than I think that we're used to looking at college players.
And we're going to get into the Sweet 16 matchups here in a second, and I don't know how much you want to reveal. I know these are private conversations, but can you give us just kind of a vibe or a feel of what the locker room was like and what your conversations with Turge was like after that game?
No, it was no fun. I mean, and it's kind of weird. I think I said this to you in a text over the weekend. You go from the delirium after beating Belmont in what was just a phenomenal game. You know, you go from the locker room after that game mm-hmm. to the locker room, you know, after LSU. And it's as night and day as you could possibly imagine. And, you know, Turge was a good soldier. You know, he went out and answered every question, talked to everybody who posed the question at the press conference and then in the locker room. But he loves this team. You know, he's said it all year long, and I think it just broke his heart that they would not only lose that way, and you know, it's just a tough way to go out.
Talking to Chris Nockey, voice of the Terps Radio Network. So let's get into the Sweet 16. Duke's there as expected, but nobody expected what I think is probably the game of the tournament. Talk about the last 2 minutes there. We've kind of kicked it around. To me, UCF just got to make a couple plays. Block out on Zion's three, block out on a free throw, and you win the game.
I tell you what, the guys at ESPN had to be gripping down the stretch of that game, because what in the world would they talk about if Duke got bounced? You know?
Good point. So, I have Zion fatigue, by the way, but personally, that's just me.
Well, I mean,
I'm all Zioned out.
I mean, could they hire more the former Duke players for their college game day cast? I mean, good Lord.
Exactly.
Well, Gary Williams probably didn't even watch that show.
Yeah, right.
They make that tip 99 times out of 100. I mean, that's as easy a tip as you're ever going to get, and it rolled out. But there were so many plays that led up to that. It was just incredible. Clearly a two-handed push on the missed free throw, but it's only a push if they call it. The missed alley-oop on the break, you know, where all you have to do basically is convert, or you just pull it back out and run off 30 more seconds. There were so many plays in that game down the stretch. It was just hard to believe with the opportunities they had in the last 10 seconds that UCF didn't win that game. And that would have been sweet. That would have taken a little bit of the sting out of the Terp loss for me, but that's just me.
So Liberty punched Virginia Tech in the mouth early in that game, and they had about an 8-point lead. But Virginia Tech got it together, ended up, you know, they were still down 4 or 5 in the second half. But in the last 10 minutes, they really just kind of ran away with it, and they win fairly easily. They've beaten Duke this year. I think they only played them once, beat them without Zion at Castle. What are your thoughts on this matchup? Virginia Tech can really shoot the ball, and Robinson special at point.
You know what? They can also really defend. They got good quickness. They play really hard. I just don't know they've got the level of athleticism to deal with Duke with Zion. I really don't like this matchup for Virginia Tech, although I think they've had a phenomenal season. I just, you know, there's going to be an interesting offseason at Tech. They're going to lose some guys. I don't know. You know, his buzz, is this the ceiling for Virginia Tech basketball? I mean, they had a hellacious year in the – in the ACC? Are they going to somehow leapfrog over Florida State, Duke, North Carolina? I mean, is that this might be the best that they can be? I mean, I'm just saying. So it's an interesting time for Tech basketball.
Well,
and also,
what about Buzz? I mean, Buzz.
That's what I mean.
Although I'm going to play devil's advocate. I'm going to play the long game. Like, how many more years is Coach K going to be at Duke? How many more years is Roy Williams going to coach? Like, you could wait it out, and then maybe you'll be the top.
Yeah, but you think they're not just going to pluck the top coaches out there to take over those programs?
Chris Nockey comes back.
There you go. Why not?
I think a program like Carolina has this sort of institutional momentum and inertia that they're always going to be North Carolina. Duke may be a little bit different animal, but Carolina's been good for as long as I've been alive.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Kansas stayed Kansas after Roy left. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if you're the basketball coach in Blacksburg. I just don't know that you can expect a much better season than this. It's been a historic season, I think, for them.
So, all right, so you like Duke in that first matchup. What about LSU, Michigan State, also played here in D.C.?
Yeah, I like Sparty in that matchup. I mean, Izzo, this is kind of Izzo time. I was impressed by LSU's. Their athleticism is crazy, and the size is great. But Michigan State's got a little bit of both of that. And the showdown of the tournament might be the point guard matchup in that game, Cassius Winston and Tremont Waters. That's going to be a great show right there.
By the way, what was your take? You're a guy who coached at AU, former coach. What was your take on Izzo's confrontation with his player?
Well, I mean, the optics aren't great. But I've sat next to Izzo on the at the scores table and heard what he has said to his players, and I don't think I ever said that to my Labrador, you know, when he was alive. But that's just who he is, and there aren't many guys like him. And I'm not, in this day and age, there are only a few guys who do that, and only probably less number of guys who can actually get away with it. But that none of that surprises me at all at this point in time. I guess we make it a bigger deal because of the optics of it, because he's doing it on such a public stage.
Yeah, optics were not good. All right, so Virginia has not looked good in either game, certainly not in the Gardner-Webb game. They looked great in the second half, but they struggled. They were down big. They didn't look great last night. Kyle Guy goes 0 for 10 from threes, but they're so good defensively that Oklahoma just had no idea what to do. Now they're going to play Oregon, who's won, I believe, 10 straight. Now, Oregon's two opponents, Wisconsin, can't score, Irvine, a 13 seed. You know, not the toughest matchups, but they're playing well. That Pritchard kid, the point guard, playing really well. Do you give Oregon a shot against UVA?
I think it depends a little bit on Guy. If Guy's not shooting the ball well, and he hasn't, then I think Oregon's got a shot. And Oregon does not need to apologize for who they beat to get into the Sweet 16. I mean, they came in on a heater. I think they've won 8 games in a row coming mm-hmm. into the tournament. So they played their way in, and they've kept the momentum going. I'm sure Oregon will be competitive in that game. But I like UVA moving on.
All right, last question. In the Midwest, Carolina, Auburn, this should be like an NBA game. I wouldn't be surprised if one of these teams is in the 90s, if not both. And then you got Houston and Kentucky. Kentucky's going to be without P.J. Washington again, I would assume. Who do you like in these matchups?
I think Houston is good enough to beat Kentucky. Their guards are excellent. They've had a really great year. I think that's going to be a really good game, probably defensive oriented. And the other one, I like Carolina actually to win it all. And I think they'll beat Auburn, although Auburn is one of those teams that's playing great right now. I mean, they just shellacked Kansas. So I see that is a 90-85, 90-87 kind of a game. And that one, I think, might be the game of the Sweet 16 in terms of entertainment value.
All right, Chris. Always love having you on. It's Chris Nockey, voice of the Terps on the Terps Radio Network. Thanks, pal.
See you, Christopher.
Hi, guys.
Talk to you, man.
Thank you, Mr. Nockey.
All right, we tracked down John Lazor. He is the voice of the Hokies on the IMG Sports Network. Of course, Virginia Tech advances to the Sweet 16. Morning, John.
Morning, guys.
Exciting time for the Hokies. Nice win yesterday to advance.
Liberty scared him a little bit there. That was a little bit of a scare.
Yeah,
Yeah, Liberty's a good basketball team. You know, they don't get a lot of recognition for that, but anytime you win 29 games, which they did, you obviously are capable. And Virginia Tech, I think, was a little bit frustrated in the first half because they were getting the looks that they wanted and they weren't knocking them down. And I think they got a little accelerated, but ultimately they were the better team. And I thought that showed in the second half. They ratcheted down the defense and eventually took care of business.
Yep, they looked good in the second half.
Do you think the Hokies fan base knows how to react? This is a place Virginia Tech hasn't been since 1967. This is a historic Sweet 16 appearance for Virginia Tech.
Yeah, I don't know in terms of the reaction. We're out here in San Jose still, so we haven't really been back yet to see how they're reacting. But that's kind of the fun part. You know, I was at a VCU, not necessarily a big part of it or anything, in 2011 when they just out of nowhere went to the Final Four. And that was the fun part about it, was people didn't know how to react. You know, Duke fans obviously know how to react. North Carolina fans know how to react. It's almost just business as usual, maybe save for the ending to last night's game against UCF. But that's the fun part in sports, when things are unique and when, I'm not going to say they're unexpected, because this is something that honestly I expected this team to do. But at the same time, you haven't done it. You know, 1967, the tournament certainly wasn't the format that it is now. So it's unprecedented, which makes it awesome.
Mm-hmm. So now they're going to play Duke, and you know, they beat Duke at Castle, and Zion was not there, obviously, as you know. So they've never seen Zion. And they won that game.
I've seen him on TV. Yes. Everybody has.
They haven't seen him on the court. So the question is, and Virginia Tech is a really good defensive team. They shoot the ball really well. Robinson being back after the 10 games or so that he missed is huge for them. But what will they do defensively, do you think, to kind of contain Zion, if that's even possible? You saw what Central Florida tried to do yesterday, pack in that zone and make them a perimeter team. But that still didn't work. Zion still got his. So what's your thought defensively on what the game plan is to stop Zion?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what the game plan is. It'll obviously be completely different than it was at Castle Coliseum. What the Hokies did there was essentially play a smother the snake on R.J. Barrett up top, and they were very successful at that, particularly in the first half, of suffocating him. Yeah, I think, honestly, that what they'll do is essentially what they always do, which is play their cover two gap control defense and try to make Duke as three-point reliant as possible. You're not going to be entirely successful with that. I think that's the way that Zion is. You almost just have to accept the fact that he's going to get some. You don't have to accept the fact that that's 32 like he had yesterday. But you just, you know, it's one of those things. You can't completely shut him down. You just try to hope to contain him as much as possible, make his looks as difficult as possible, and hope that Duke's not shooting the basketball well that night. I mean, that's the thing, guys. When they're hitting outside shots, as you saw when they played at Charlottesville, I'm not going to say they're unbeatable, but they're about as close to it as possible. So you have to make their looks uncomfortable wherever they come on the floor. And a lot of occasions, honestly, with Duke, it's a situation where you've got to be good offensively, because you're going to have to score some points to beat them.
Yeah, well, I think you got to control the glass too, because Zion's going to hit those offensive boards.
Yeah, totally agree.
Yeah, well, like you said, you're going to have to score in the, you know, they hit 77 when they beat them in the regular season. You're going to have to be in the mid to high 70s at the minimum to beat them. And Tech has scored in the 60s in these first couple games. Now, they locked down those two opponents, St. Louis and Liberty, especially in the second half. But do you think that Buzz feels comfortable with that sort of pace? And can they get to the high 70s?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I think people sometimes, they look outside and they go, you got to be in the 70s, you got to be in the 80s, you were in the 60s, whatever, and they don't recognize the number of possessions in the game. You know, the Hokies just played two of the slowest teams in the country, and the Hokies have also been very comfortable playing slowly. Yeah, in the second half, particularly, St. Louis turned that into a rock fight. So, you know, whatever, you scored in the 60s and you were essentially in control of that game the entire time. Yeah, the Hokies are comfortable playing at a faster pace. They're not going to do that intentionally, I don't believe. But if the game gets to that point, which is what Duke's going to try to do to push that accelerator a little bit, they're comfortable there. You know, for Buzz's first 4 years, this was a very wide open, fast team. And certainly with Justin Robinson back, they are capable of playing a lot faster. You look at their tempo this year, and they're 335 at the end of the regular season out of 353. So clearly the Hokies have slowed down what they're trying to do and remained efficient. But yeah, you know, they're capable of doing that. Like I say, you know, Duke is not the number one overall seed for no reason. It's not like you'd realize Hokies are going to have to hit some outside shots. They're going to have to speed it up at times and get out in transition. And they're ultimately going to have to play their best game of the season if they're going to win.
Right. So how do you feel about the game?
Well, to be honest with you guys, it's 6:20 out here on the West Coast, and I'm still savoring last night. I think the Hokie staff probably moved on over the course of the night. But it doesn't, at the moment, matter who the opponent is for the Hokies. It's the destination, which is D.C., obviously, which is phenomenal for this fan base, and it's still kind of soaking in last night. And now I think you get to a situation where if you beat Duke, it's going to become, obviously, the biggest story nationally, and it's a house money type situation for this team. I'm just so grateful that they were able to get to where I feel like they should have been at this group of seniors, particularly advancing to this stage to let their story be known. So just kind of soaking that in at the moment.
I was going to say, it's not going to be a true home game, but it's going to be as close to a home crowd as possible outside of Castle. I mean, I live in Virginia. I can't tell you how many of my friends went to Tech and my neighbors, you know, went to Tech.
Your daughter may go to Tech.
My daughter is going to Tech
next year. Oh, let's lock it up?
Yeah, my daughter will be there next year. So you know what? I mean, this is going to be a home crowd feel for Hokies.
Yeah, I remember when the Hokies played there, it was called the Verizon Center, I believe, at that point, and I know it's not anymore, in Buzz's second year, my first year. They played on the second night of the ACC tournament against Florida State, the late game, like this one will be, and the Hokies took over that arena, and I'm hoping that'll happen again. Duke travels exceptionally well. They've got a national fan base, so they'll definitely be well represented, but it's going to be an awesome environment. I think that just adds to the story of where it is. We were talking last night, me and some of the folks that are in our traveling party, just about, you know, not only are you in the Sweet 16, but it couldn't be in a more perfect location in terms of having the environment that you want. So it's going to be an awesome week. There's no doubt about that.
Well, you don't have to worry about it, but the tickets on SeatGeek, they ain't cheap. These tickets are going at a high price. So
yeah, like
Hokies Nation's going to have to spend some money to get in the building.
Well, that's awesome. And I think, like I say, you know, I'm not saying it's a once in a lifetime. Hopefully it'll become more of the norm in terms of having basketball success. But at the same time, since it's the first time, you know, absolutely, whatever it takes to be in the building, I'm sure the Hokies will take care of it.
All right, last question, John. I'm talking to John Lazor, voice of the Hokies on IMG Sports Network. Would you be surprised if Buzz Williams was not the coach next year?
Yeah, honestly, I don't really want to get into all that, guys. I know he's deflected that. I haven't heard anything about it inside the program. I think he's done a phenomenal job of just enjoying this run and honoring these guys. And, you know, Justin Robinson's first day on campus was my first day on campus. And I just haven't really wanted to look beyond that. For me, getting the opportunity to call a game last night like that, and having the opportunity to call a game in the Sweet 16, something I've dreamed about since I was a kid. That's certainly something that's been speculated, and, you know, that's just the business. Every year there's something like that when you're having success and you're going to be coveted and people want what the Hokies have right now. But that'll all play itself out in the next few weeks, and not honestly thinking about it.
Okay. All right. Are you a Tech grad?
No, I went to Arizona State.
Ah, fork them. Just like our
is
producer.
That why, is that why Drabby booked you? Our producer, he didn't even know. Okay, our producer went to Arizona State. All right,
yeah, John. We don't talk about it much, and what happened down there when we were there. Either.
Right.
Apparently not. All right, John, appreciate the time, man. Go back to sleep or safe travels or whatever you're doing the rest of the day.
I would say go back to sleep. Yeah, please do.
All right, man, see
you. Yeah, guys, my pleasure.
Good stuff. Thanks. Here's what I know about Buzz Williams. He's getting a raise next year, whether it's from Virginia Tech or Texas A&M.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree.
Because he's already signed a contract extension, but when you're doing what he's doing there, which is bringing a program where it hasn't been in 50 years, and the Sharks are circling and want to hire him, that's where they tear up the old contract and add more years and, more importantly, more dollars.
Correct.
To the extension.
Correct.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.